We gotta spread this stuff around. Let's put it on the internet.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Weird. Spooky. That one reminds me, yeah, that's interesting. A lot of these, like, weird places that pop up on the side of the road. I had a similar, not exactly, but I had an interesting experience. I don't know if I've told this story on the show before, but I probably have. I mean, I've been doing this show for like 15 years, so I figure I must have. But I used to be an overnight janitor, and at the time, and people listening, they know I'm not religious, so it's not really, there's a religious bent to this story, but I didn't read too much into it because I'm probably a fucking idiot. But anyway, I was working the overnight, so I had a lot of time on my hands. And I was, like, really into reading at the time. So I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? Because I'm stuck at this overnight job, I'm just going to read the Bible from cover to cover just to say that I did. So it took me, like, 3 months to do, but I did it. And at one point, I was, like, out having a smoke. I don't even know where I was in the Bible at that point, but I was pretty into it. Because it's a long-ass book. And I was like, oh, you know, it's weird. God does all this shit to these people, and they can, you know, he's talking to them and doing stuff and, you know, interacting with God and everything, and sucks that doesn't happen nowadays. So thinking that to myself. So then I go in, going back to my little area in the high school where I was janitor, and you got to walk up this long, like super long corridor hall, like uphill hall thing. And along the way, there are, like, hallways that break off on the side. And so I get to almost to my area. Right as I get to the doorway to my area, there's a break-off hallway with an elevator at the end of it. And right when I get to at the end of that hallway, I look down at the elevator, and the door just opens.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it was like an elevator you had to have a key to use. It was like in high school because it was like, you know, so the only people who could really use it were – kids who, you know, who were injured or handicapped or whatever, and they needed the way to get up and down the stairs. So, like, you know, you had to have a key, right? You know what I mean? Otherwise, every fucking idiot kid would be riding up and down the elevator.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So, but no, there was no key or any, you know, nobody had fucking, I had the key because I was a janitor, obviously. So there was no reason why the door or any explanation for how the door would open. But I just stood there, looked into the open elevator, and then waited for the door to close, and then went back to my thing, because I was like, you know, it never dawned on me. I guess it didn't dawn on me at the time. I was just kind of spooked out. And, you know, looking back on it, it's one of those things, like, if I were a time traveler, I'd be like, go into that fucking elevator. I'd go back in time and tell myself that. I always wondered, what would have happened if I went in that elevator? Like, you know, maybe it would have opened up, and I would have been, like, in the 70s or something. It would, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
would have been fucking awesome.
It could have been like the, you know, the elevator in Willy Wonka. They were just waiting for the right person to come in. And, you know, then you rocket up into the sky and you get to take over the factory.
Yeah, yeah. Very weird. I kick myself about that. Every time I tell the story, I think to myself, like, oh, the story – you know, I should have just gone down and gone in the elevator, like, tried to figure out what the hell was going on. But I was so bewildered. And, you know, the only reason why I mentioned the whole Bible and God thing is just because that was literally, like, what I was thinking before it happened. So it made it all the more strange. You know what I mean? Because it was like, how come nothing weird ever happens? And then right then, something weird happens. So,
that is,
you know.
Strange. Yeah, you know what? You should submit that story to the map.
I'll do that. I'll do that. after the show, I'll do that. Yeah. It's a very very weird story. That's probably like the weirdest thing that's happened to me.
That is really weird, yeah.
So
we have go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
You know, John Tenney submitted you know, an interesting possible time slip story to us that he experienced.
Yeah.
I know everybody knows John Tenney.
Yeah, of course.
But,
he's on show earlier this summer, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, he talks about, he went to this diner, he was in Decatur, Illinois, and he went to this diner a couple of times because his car was broken down. So he went into, you know, he just had to, he was stuck in town and was staying in this hotel. So he went to this diner a couple of times and, you know, interacted with people and ate there and enjoyed it and decided to go for one last meal after his car was fixed. And the diner was gone. It was just not there at all.
Yeah. Very strange.
Yeah.
It kind of connects to, like, this weird idea I have sometimes where it's like, I think it actually is a theory. I'm not the first person to think of it, but it's like, what if everything that happened before you were born is just shit that you made up, like, before you came onto Earth, if you will. You know what I'm saying? So it's like everybody's just playing out their own story that they made up. So in my world, all the shit happened beforehand, you know, or if, like, maybe in someone else's world there was no World War II. It was a whole different thing, you know, or Vietnam didn't happen or something like that. It was like this whole universe is like that, where people can just try different timelines and shit. I don't know. It's just a weird kind of idea I had. Because it's like, well, I wasn't there to see any of this stuff that happened, you know, like the Renaissance or whatever. So what if it's just the backstory that I made up for this lifetime I'm going to experience? You know what I mean?
Yes. Modified multiverse kind of.
Yeah. Theory. Like a trippy sort of idea like that. So, but that's the kind of thing I think of with these time slips. It's like, well, you know, who knows? You can. It kind of almost speaks to, like, that computer reality idea too, where it's just like, how can these things just come up out of nowhere like that? Unless the reality we're operating in isn't exactly what we think it is.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a real. And it kind of connects back to me to. You know, what if some of those stories are shared? You know, maybe it's just like two or three people who are kind of living out their friends before they got here, and they're kind of writing a story to talk about it, you know, as participants. And yeah, that's kind of a cool idea. And yeah, I can see how some of the stories on the map. It would be cool to have, like, stories on the map that correlate, and, you know, find out if there was anything similar between those people. So.
Yeah, like I said before, too, about the full moon thing, it would be interesting. An examination of the times would be interesting, too. Like, what did...
Yeah, definitely.
Like, when did these things happen? Because I know mine was, like, in the middle of the night, so that's that kind of the witching hour that they say.
Yeah,
so who knows?
I should say, I'm really interested in stories that don't happen in the middle of the night, too.
Right. Well, yeah, of course.
The scary stuff happens. Like, the scary stuff that happens during the day can be, like, way scarier.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Because, like, that would be, when I hear that kind of thing, I think of, like, a Men in Black encounter, or, like, an encounter with some kind of otherworldly person that you're like, I'm not sure if this is really, like, a person or what. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I had. I don't even know. I don't think this is really paranormal or anything like that. But I did have an experience like that. I wouldn't submit this one to that. But I again, it's like religious. I don't know why it's coming up. But I used to have a shirt in college because I was like a smartass that said had Jesus on it and said, like, Jesus is coming. Look busy. So I was just wearing it, and this old man came up to me, and he started, like, loving the shirt and was like, yes, Jesus, look busy, be busy. He said he was a reverend and said his son owned the bar downtown and shit. It was all very strange. It was just like, I don't really think this, but part of me was like, was that an angel? Like, did I just encounter an angel? Like, what the fuck happened just then? Like, who was that old man that just accosted me and just started heaping praise upon my Jesus shirt? So, very.
Yeah. You never know. I mean, it kind of leads to, there's an interesting experience that both Garrett and I had together. So we were out there looking for, so there's this, if you Google, like, you know, 10 most haunted sites in Seattle, or, you know, sort of the silly, those listicles that people make, like, scariest spots in the Pacific Northwest. Occasionally, you'll come across this story of something called the Screaming Well. And the story is that there's this well on some property somewhere, and if you listen into it, you can hear the screams of people who have fallen in. And if you listen too closely, those screams will follow you home.
Oh, Jesus.
The problem is that nobody, none of these sources say where the well is. Like, none of them at all say, here's the location of the well. So we have a couple of clues, though, as to a couple of areas it could be, sort of in South Seattle. And so we've gone out a couple of times trying to find, this is sort of like our great white whale for, like,
yeah,
weird experience. We really want to find this freaking well.
Your great white well.
Our great white well, exactly, yeah. although Garrett says he wouldn't listen into it, but I totally would. I would be that guy. I would, like, drop the, you know, Zoom recorder on a rope down into the well to see if I picked anything up. But, so, I mean, we haven't found it, but we've gone out a couple times looking. And one time we decided to go out looking, and we brought our kids, because both of our kids are into this stuff now because
yeah.
of us, which is their teachers, I'm sure, really appreciate. We brought our kids, and we went walking out in this place called the Black River Riparian area. It's south of Seattle. It's basically, it's like a bird sanctuary, river, sort of untouched land. But we found all these weird structures that people had been building. We had no idea who they were, just like these strange wooden structures that people had been making, like bridges, and but they've been making them out of, like, found logs on the trail and stuff. So, and yeah, it was a very sort of, I would say creepy, but was sort of a paranormal walk kind of for us, because there was just all these strange things that were happening. So finally,
yeah.
We decided to go home, and as we came out of the woods, we came to where I had parked on the outside of the woods, there was this guy, this very sort of nondescript guy, standing next to, like, a silver car, like a big silver car, and he was wearing these goggles. These weird goggles with, like, antenna sticking out of them.
Jesus.
And he's just sitting there, and he's got these weird, like, so he's looking, and you know, Garrett says, and I totally agree, he was kind of like Doc Brown from Back to the Future or something. Like, he had that sort of
yeah,
air about
I'm
him.
Thinking, yeah, like a wacky scientist type. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah. And he looks over at us, and he goes, "Hey, guys, you want to go flying with me?"
Holy shit.
And we were like, what? So he opens his trunk and he pulls out a couple of more sets of these goggles, and
holy
he's got
shit.
This drone. And so he's got this drone, and he puts the goggles on, and he's just got the goggles hooked up to the drone, so the drone is, like, flying around, you know, and we can see ourselves, like, flying, you know. And so it was a really cool experience, and, you know, we ended and we were like, oh, that was really, you know, that was a lot of fun, and of course the kids really loved it too.
Yeah.
You know, he's just this nice guy. So then we go, and we're telling our friend Tim, you know, our silent partner, this, and he goes, "You guys, you realize what just happened, right? You came out of woods that are in this sort of liminal space. You're at a crossroads. You met a man who taught you the secret of flight." This is, like, classic, like, witchcraft, UFO, like, strange experience that happened to us.
Yeah.
And so we were wondering, like, maybe this is, you know, he was in the right place at the right time for us to have had that experience. I mean, we're not necessarily saying he was, like, a UFO being or, you know, wizard or something like that. But
no, he could have been a tool in the whole thing, too.
Yeah, exactly. He could have been, you know, just sent there to say, like, oh, yeah, here's the message for you. You know, there is, like, strangeness going on here. This space is an odd space. You know, it's like it's right out of, like, Jacques Vallée. You know, the fairies have taught you how to fly using flying machines, you know?
Yeah.
So
you partook in the goggles.
You know,
you guys tried on the goggles.
Yeah.
You did the – yeah, okay. Interesting.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, gosh,
yeah.
Yeah. So, you know,
and he was
like,
a normal
guy,
dude,
you know?
Right? He wasn't like he was obviously like this story never because when he with the way you did his voice and how he's opening his trunk, I was like that's why I was like oh shit, I was afraid that like it sounds like Stranger with a Van. So it turned out he was a normal, relatively normal dude. He was a nice guy or whatever. You guys weren't like get the fuck away from this guy.
Yeah.
He's crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
All
he was
right.
A totally
interesting.
Cool dude. You know, we talked to him a little bit about what we were doing. Yeah, it was just, you know, a cool situation, and But now he's contributed to this story, like this mythology we have, right? So, like, we've re-mythologized the landscape there and now know that place is, like, we met a man at the crossroads who taught us to fly.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so,
that's wild.
You know, I think that, you know, your Jesus shirt guy, like, what if that was somebody who, you know, what if that was a similar case, right? Because obviously it's
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's part of your personal mythology now, so...
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
You know,
well, I was thinking about it as you were talking about the structures and stuff. There's nothing, I can't really, I'm sure, like, I'll, something else will come to you. I can't think of a more creepy location than, like, in the woods. There's just something about walking around in the woods. It's like, you're the interloper, like, you're the one out of place in the woods. Like, everything else is, you know, it's like when an animal comes into your backyard. But it's like, instead, you're in some other whole ecosystem that you're the interloper in, and I always, my gosh, just creepy, man. Just creepy. It's super quiet. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really go camping, but, yeah. What's that?
Yeah. Oh, I love the woods in general. You know, I'm not a big camper, but I also, my personal, another one of my personal, I wouldn't say hobbies, but because I do some of it professionally, is landscape design and teaching foraging for wild foods.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I do go out into the woods a lot, and it's kind of helped me understand, which I take to the map, and I know Garrett does as well, of the idea of what we're calling, like, this sort of paranormal ecosystem.
Yeah.
How, you know, you go to the woods, and you're looking at a plant, like, it's not just this plant sitting there. It's got, you know, mushrooms on the roots, and it's got birds living in the branches and squirrels, and, you know, the water comes into play and everything like that.
Right, right.
And I think that, you know, what I think is that, you know, when you're out there in the woods like that, if you come to that understanding, you realize you're kind of a part of that system at that same time. So, like, my presence in that system can impact that system and vice versa. Like, I harvest wild greens and cook them and eat them at home. Like, that is me participating in that system that produced those same greens.
Right.
But, like, in the paranormal world, like, so I think, you know, it's, if you have an experience, then you are participating in an entire ecosystem. It's not just that you saw a UFO. Like, you're actually part of a system of some kind. And I don't know exactly what that means or where we're going with that, but it's just this fascinating idea to me that, you know, you can look at a jellyfish in each of its different life stages and it looks completely different. You know, it starts off as like this polyp that is attached to a rock, and then it shoots off this, you know, sort of weird looking little disc floating thing, and then turns into the jellyfish that it looks like now. And, you know, it just continues in that cycle. And so, you know, what if these paranormal things that we're seeing are different stages in some kind of cycle that we just can't see because we aren't fully participating in it?
Yeah, or it could be, it could very well be that it's like it's an interactive thing. So it may not even be that this thing is evolving before your eyes, but like you're evolving, so you're seeing a different thing than if you're at a different place in your whatever, your development. You might see a ghost or a Bigfoot or a UFO or something like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like maybe it's something there too.
Yeah. Totally. Or if there's an area where people are seeing, you know, a ghost and they've seen Bigfoot and they've seen a UFO in the same area, maybe those three things that they're seeing are actually different forms of the same thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, I like those stories too. I've heard them from people like, they're like, you know, people like on a ghost hunt where they'll both look at something and they'll see different things. You know, like
yeah,
one person
yeah.
will see like an apparition. The other person will see like a, you know, like a mist or something, or something completely, you know, they'll each see something unique and clearly out of the ordinary. But then they talk to each other and it's like, no, I didn't see that. I saw this. And it's like, what the hell's going on here, man? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah. That stuff's really cool because then you get into phenomenology and, you know, perception and how our neurons are impacting different experiences that we're having. And I don't know, I don't come down hard on any of it as far as conclusions go, you know. I just like the
yeah,
experience of it all.
it's hard to really, yeah, I feel like people try to, I'll throw sort of scenarios out there, like the guy on the, with the root beer, where it's like, oh, well, maybe, I mean, that's the, you know, I always try to come up with sort of a devil's advocate argument, but then at the same time, it's, I'm honest enough with myself, I guess, and with the audience, too, if it comes up, where it's like, if the explanation's flimsy, then I'll be the first to admit, you know what I mean? I'm not like someone who's like, he had to be dreaming, end of story. It's like, well, that's right, one scenario. It's like, it could have been this, could have been that, you know. So, yeah, I try not to – people's stories are – that's their experience. So, you know, you got to take them kind of at their word for it.
Well, and then when it comes down to it, too, I mean, going with this in the same direction, if we were to discover that some of these strange stories weren't true, that they were made up, like, we would probably keep them on the map, because just by virtue of having told that story, you're creating, like, we know that these stories, like, so in all likelihood, you know, you're looking at a dichotomy here. There's, it's either true or not. Like, one of those two things is probably the case. So what's interesting then instead for us is we know it's true or it's not true, but how does that impact you as the reader and as the person who had the experience? Like, what are you going to do about it if it's true? What are you going to do about it if it's not true? I mean, that's the question I think that's worth answering and worth being interested in, too.
Yeah, because it plants a seed for you to, you know, I think it's kind of like the idea, like, the more people hear about these things, the more likely they are to happen and stuff. So it's like, even if the stuff isn't true, you know, even if, like even if they didn't, like a completely random example, but, like, if a bunch of people think they saw a UFO and then the government's like, no, it was this balloon or whatever, and it really was, right? We'll say it really was in this instance. That doesn't stop, like, a bunch of people from having UFO sightings over the next few days that definitely aren't the fucking balloon, you know? So it's like once idea enters the minds of people, then it opens the door for them to see it, you know? It's kind of like, in a way, it's kind of like the shrimp thing. If, like, more people heard about the shrimp thing, then maybe more people would see it, you know what I'm saying? So I hope Garrett keeps wearing the shrimp costume around because we,
we want... Well, we go out tabling, you know, at events, and he always wears the shrimp costume because, like, it's a great way to get people to come up and talk to you.
Yeah, for sure. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's like if you haven't thought about it or heard about it or know about it, then it's all of a sudden enters your mind. It's like, oh, then maybe you will see a Bigfoot or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, totally. Or even, you know, to look at it from another way. Like, suppose somebody says, oh, it's a UFO, and then, you know, the government says, no, it's a balloon, and it does turn out it's a balloon. But maybe that entices more people to go out and look in that area.
Right.
And then they start seeing the, you know, the actual things because there's more people looking. You know, like they say, there's, like, people tend to report UFOs more often, like, in places where people take cigarette breaks or something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because they happen to be outside. They're smoking a cigarette, and they, you know, so...
I was distracted here because Zach Copley just posted a link for the Society for Liminal Cartography T-shirt, which is through you guys, I assume, or else I'm going to have to beat the shit out of Copley when I see him next. So that's your T-shirt, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, that's
all right.
One of them.
You're safe, Copley. You're safe. Yeah, it's cool. It's like it's got like a crest on it with some antlers and a crow, it looks like. It's a really badass shirt. I might actually pick one of those up. So liminal.earth.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's liminalmaps.com, threadless.com is where you can get that. But yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, it's interesting. It's I like what you guys are doing because it's these personal anecdotes I think are really important to trying to. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever really solve any of this, but they're I think they're important. You know, to try and get a handle on what the hell we're dealing with here in a sense, like. To understand the strangeness, because for a long time in the history of these fields and stuff, like, they didn't want any of that stuff. So if you, you know, even the old UFO groups were like, they didn't want to know about who was in the UFO or anything. And if you came in and you were like, yeah, I saw a UFO and there's a couple of little guys in it, and they're like, get the fuck out. Get out. Get out of our out of our NICAP office right now. So so now you know, I think there's a more, in this modern era, there's more of an appreciation for the absurd, the absurdity of the phenomena, whatever it is. It's like all these things have a real tinge of absurdity to it that you almost have to wonder, I don't know if it's intentional, but it's like a an integral characteristic of the phenomena or something like that.
Right, right. I just pulled up a good absurd story from the map for you if you want me to read it out here.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So let's check this out. So this was submitted by ICDS. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but this happened in Regina, Saskatchewan.
Oh, yeah.
So so she says it's August 1999. This episode that happened to me and my friend Alice is really silly and weird, makes no sense at all. We were in the East Mall in Regina after most of the shops were closed, and were taking a shortcut to the parking lot. The mall was open till midnight. We were alone, and there was a pharmacy we had to pass to leave the mall. It was closed, and a kind of trellis security blind over the whole storefront, like old-time elevators. There was a trellis security blind over the storefront like old-time elevators. Outside of this were a bubblegum machine shaped like an elephant, and about 6 feet away, another machine where you put in a coin and the animatronic fortune teller would say something and then you'd get your fortune on a card. You know, like
that. Like big.
Zoltar. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
As we were about to pass, the elephant machine lit up and said, Ruth, I love you. I love you.
Oh, Jesus.
My friend and I looked at each other and burst out laughing. Just as we were about to say something, the fortune teller animated and said, Hello, Ruth. We laughed again and said, Come on, whoever you are, we know you're there. However, when we looked around, there were no places where anyone could hide. We could see straight into the store, and the machines lit up and, in fact, were not plugged in. As the leads went into the store, and we could see that they were unplugged. We didn't know how fast to get out of there. We just couldn't believe such a bizarre and meaningless thing had happened. It made no sense at all. Next day, we went back to the store, and the machines were gone. I asked where the machines were and was given a vague answer about maintenance, and that was that.
Wow. That's weird.
Yeah. Neither of them were named Ruth.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because, like, yeah, I was listening to the story, and I'm like, wait a minute, was one of them named Ruth? I was trying to remember. Yeah. Very weird. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, those are the strange ones where it's like, what, you can't even really put that into a category, you know. It's like, what is that? Very, very weird.
Yeah.
Like, haunted machines are just odd. Now, you don't have to, like, necessarily tell me a specific story. I feel bad, like, I don't want to, like, keep, I'm trying to avoid being like, tell me a Bigfoot story. But I guess my question is, if you had to give sort of a range or just your general feeling, how many of these stories would you say do they usually fall on the side of, like, fun and cool? Or, like, I guess how many you get that are just like, fucking, that was terrifying? Like, do you get a lot of, because I see there's a category for dark forces. And like I said, I don't want to be like, tell me a dark forces story. I'm more interested sort of maybe in the idea of, like, how many of these, is it frequent or is it rare that you get a story where you're just genuinely like, okay, that frightened me. That didn't give me a wry smile. That left me like afraid to fucking go to bed tonight.
Yeah, you know, I'd say in my estimation, I mean, it's almost like a bell curve. You know, like on the one end we get like the sort of on the lower end we get the sort of whimsical, weird, silly, you know, like elephant machine telling Ruth it loves her, that kind of thing. And then, you know, at the top of the curve, most of the stories are fairly, I don't want to say mundane, because they're not mundane, they're extraordinary, but most of them are fairly straightforward, like, I saw a UFO, I saw a strange shadowy figure, I saw a cryptid. And then on the other end, that's where you start getting into the, like, what the hell was that? This is really weird and creepy. So I'd say most of the stories we get are very much I saw bright lights in the sky, I heard a strange voice in the hall, that kind of thing. So
yeah. Because, like, everybody wants to have one of these experiences, but then it's like there are also ones that are just, like, like terrifying. And, you know, it's like, so be careful what you wish for, folks, you know.
Yeah, no kidding, yeah. But, you know, we've also found when we're out tabling that, you know, we ask a lot of people, you know, what, you know, have you ever had any strange experiences? And it's like 9 times out of 10, the answer will be, oh, no, I've never had anything like that happen. Except this one thing did, right?
So, like, right, yeah.
They don't want to admit, like, dive in, you know, for whatever reason. Either they're embarrassed or worried that, you know, you'll think they're crazy or that they sound silly. But we found that more people that we talk to have this kind of experience than not, even if it's just something small. So.
Yeah, I think the... Yeah, I think that's the case. Like, well, it's kind of like with me, because I never really, if people ask me if anything ever strange happened to me, it's usually like, I'm always just like, nah, nothing really that crazy, except for this, the elevator story I told you earlier. So it's like, it's almost exactly how I sort of frame it, too. So I think people maybe, in a way, this is something that I hope the Liminal.Earth can do, and kind of like what I was talking about, is sort of raising awareness of that there's things aren't necessarily always under the same umbrella of, like, Bigfoot, UFO, or ghost.
Right.
You know, I think people maybe, it may not even necessarily be embarrassment, or it may just be like, they don't understand that what they experienced is not, like it's worthy. It's worthy of being called paranormal,
yeah.
Just because it's like, you can't explain it. So... The funky machines or the elevator or whatever, it's like that all falls under the umbrella. Just because you didn't see a fucking Bigfoot doesn't mean your story isn't exciting or anything.
Yeah, that's what we say. You know, one of the examples we always give people when they're like, what kind of stories do you want? You know, we'll say we mostly get paranormal stories. The kind of things we really love to see are stuff like I was walking down the street and I saw a dog wearing human shoes.
Right.
That's not, you know,
exactly.
Nobody had that experience. But that would be like the thing, like, oh, yes, add that to the map. We have, we've had a couple where people have found mysterious, out-of-place, like, vegetables.
Yeah.
Like, somebody found a head of lettuce once, and it was just there's no reason it should have been there. Or, like, saltine crackers in their garden. Or, like, there's another one from the UK recently where somebody, this has happened since COVID, so I imagine it's what somebody is doing to keep themselves occupied. There's a phantom knitter. So it's this person who lives near these woods, and this person is knitting like little mushrooms and like insects and logs and, you know, and they're like to scale. And then they're just putting them out there in the woods.
That's pretty cool. I like that. Have you guys heard of this? Well, it's just you now, Jeremy, but is it Jeremy? I'm an asshole. Is it Jeremy still, right?
It is, yeah. But
okay.
I'm happy to answer for Grace. Since he's not here, you know, ask whatever if there's anything dark and secretive that you'd like to know.
No. I'm just a loon, dude. I'm not good at these multi-guest episodes. I can't direct traffic very well. So, but anyway, even when the other guest leaves, it's still, still kind of a fucking nightmare. The question I have is, have you heard about this thing? I want to call it, like, Randonaut, something along those lines. You've heard of this? Or people, to give people an idea of what it is, seems like something Zach Copley's probably mixed up in. But it's an app. You put it in on your phone. It's complicated. Like, I didn't quite get it at first, and I ended up deleting it because I was like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. But, like, you have to put in certain characteristics of what you're looking for. I'm sure there's information more on it. And then it gives you – and you have to, like, put in, like, a radius, you know, so it's not going to send you to, like, the Grand Canyon. You know, if you're like, all right, anything within the next 3 miles. And it, like, somehow through some way gives you random GPS coordinates, and you go there – and people say they've had weird experiences. Or some kids found a dead body at one of the things that the thing sent them to. So it's like, it's a very strange thing. So I mean, have you looked at this at all? Have you thought about it at all? It's really weird.
Yeah. We actually, so we had been aware of it for quite a long time. Probably originally when they first started developing the app, they actually had asked us if we wanted to participate, and we actually weren't able to at that time for various reasons. So we knew about it for a long time. And I should mention that the body that was found is actually two bodies inside of a suitcase.
Oh, Jesus.
And they were found in my neighborhood here in Seattle.
Oh, wow. I thought that happened in England. Oh, wow. Holy shit.
Unless there's another one. Maybe there's another one. I don't know. But this is definitely because they actually – I especially know this because just yesterday they finally found and arrested the guy who did it.
Yeah, it had to be that. How many bodies in suitcases? If they were finding more bodies in – if it kept happening over and over again. Yeah, a Seattle beach.
Right.
Okay, yeah. So – Yeah, that'd be wild. So, all right, go on. Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, so and I guess he was a landlord. It was like they were his renters, and it was like a property dispute. So anyhow, he's in jail now. So it's fun. You know, I think it's kind of hit or miss, but I think that's part of the appeal of it too. You know, you get the little thing on your phone, and then you give it you're supposed to like give it an intention of some kind.
Yeah, that's the complicated part. I couldn't,
But when we've done it, like, we've done it a couple of times, and we never actually set it out to with an intention. We were just like, let's find out what can happen. So,
right.
Interesting experience here. So, do you know Jim Perry, Euphemet podcast? Same.
No, I don't know him. We probably have crossed paths or, you know, at some point, but no, I'm not fans of him or anything or familiar with him, but sorry, go on.
Yeah, no. So Garrett and Jim are old friends for a long time ago, and Jim was in town visiting, and he was doing a little bit. He did a show on Garrett recently that's actually really good. But we were all three hanging out, and there's this park in my neighborhood, and if you go back far enough along the park, there's this grove of cedar trees. And so the way that cedar trees work is cedar trees actually contain natural fungicides, and they're antibacterial, but that's why so many old trunks were made out of cedar, because your clothes would be less likely to get moldy and rot inside cedar. But what that means is when you're out in the woods and you see these giant cedar trees, there's nothing growing around them because they have no, like, they don't allow the fungus to grow in. So it's just like cedar needles. And so the cedars out here are like majestic, giant, you know, sacred trees. Like, you look up at them and you're like, wow, these things are amazing.
So in
this park, smack dab in the middle of this this cedar grove, there is a legit fairy village. So we choose not to discuss whether or not it's like people doing it or actual fairies, but underneath each tree there are like little doors. There's like little doors that somebody has created with like shells and jewels decorating them. I'm pretty sure that's on the map. Let me see if that's fairy village, because I think I have some pictures of it there.
It's not entirely unheard of, but yeah, it's very cool.
Fondlery Park,
I like that.
So it's not entirely, but you know, because you're in this grove of trees, it's like this very mystical feeling, you know, like you just feel like holy and sacred, and you know, all these little houses are surrounding you.
Right.
So anyhow, we went there to check it out. I was like, come on, you guys are in the neighborhood, let's go check this out. So we went and checked it out, and you know, we left some offerings and, you know, played some music, and finally Garrett says, you know, I just downloaded this Randonauts thing, let's give it a try. So we said, okay, let's see what happens. So he puts in, you know, whatever he puts in. He asks for coordinates within the radius of this neighborhood. The location it generated was my house.
Oh, wow.
Like, the random location it chose was my house, the road out in front of my house. Like, exactly. The end of my driveway.
That's weird. And it was his phone, it wasn't even like some kind of glitch, you know, and necessarily in the map, you know, because like my phone somehow seems to know where I live. I don't know. I never told it, but it somehow figured it out. But so it's weird. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's very strange.
Yeah, so we just decided my house must be the weirdest one in the area, I guess.
That's very odd. And to go back to the fairy village thing, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about in a way, where it's like, you don't want to go there, but I will. Like, even if people made the fucking little doors, that can't be anything but a good thing, I think, as far as sort of conjuring the strange, if you will. It's like you're sending this message to whatever the other is, that it's like, I respect you, and I'm building you a, you know, I don't want to say like a shrine, but something along those lines, where it's like a safe place where you'll be, you know, honored and respected or whatever. And it's like, that's a good thing. That's, you know, that may open up the area to strangeness.
Yeah, and, you know, that whole area, too, on the way out, you know, because we were like, all right, like, let's head out. I've been to this park probably 25 or 30. It's like just one of my regular neighborhood parks. And it is, you know, it's not like a park with playgrounds and, you know, an open field. It's like an actual ravine with a trail and streams running through it and stuff. But I've walked every single trail of that park, not only because I think the fairy village is cool, but also because, you know, I do the wild fairy stuff. So I'm always out there walking along trails looking to see what's in season and harvestable for eating. On this day, on the way out, I took the trail to get out, and we ended up on a completely different trail that stood us out somewhere in the neighborhood I had never been.
Weird.
So it's just like these stories of being like pixie-led, you know? Like people who go in, they're interacting with the fairies, and then the next thing they know, they're confused about how to get back to where they need to get back to.
Yeah, exactly.
So that happened to us that day. It was pretty amazing.
All through the the randonaut didn't send you there, but that ties into that. Yeah, that's very weird, the whole randonaut thing. I don't get it. It's creepy.
Yeah,
I've seen people, like you said, it is hit or miss. It's kind of like a psychic in a sense, where it's like you only really hear about the dead bodies and shit. Like you don't hear about the person that just walked, you know, 3 miles, and they just come upon some random suburban house, and it's like, but who knows, you know? You go home, you look it up, maybe it's like, oh, there was an axe murderer at that house like 50 years ago or whatever. So who knows?
Right.
Sometimes you got to do that little extra work, and then you find out that what you're dealing with is strange after all. Now, I had another question for you here, but then I got off on that randonaut tangent, so I forgot. Oh, I know. The site's kind of like new, so it's probably hard to, you know, if we were like in year 15, you'd be able to, kind of like how I said before, like other times when it's busy, at times when it's on or whatever.
You're choppy. I can't hear you. I don't know if it's you or me.
Sorry. I had to be me. I walk around a lot when I'm, am I better now?
Much better, yes.
Yeah, see. I people always say they want me to, like, switch over to better stuff, and it's like, I pace around the fucking room, dude. I got to figure out how to be able to pace around the room before I can get chained down to a microphone. Anyway, now, it would be easier to probably answer this question if you had, like, a decade or whatever to look back on, in a sense. So it's you may not be able to really answer this, or maybe you will, but I guess the question is, have you noticed any sort of change in reports you're getting? And I know sometimes a lot of them, it seems, aren't really contemporaneous, so it's even more difficult to question. But have you noticed any difference here with this pandemic? Because part of me is like, well, people, because, you know, I work for Coast to Coast, and I write stories about stuff that happens. So it's like, well, when everyone's stuck inside, no one's out, you know, encountering Bigfoot even by accident, or they're not ghost hunting or any of that stuff. So, you know, they're not a Loch Ness. no one's seeing anything because they're not going anywhere. But like I said, a lot of the stuff that you post is like people sharing older stories. But have you seen anything? Have you noticed any difference?
You know, to be perfectly honest, I haven't.
Yeah, that's kind of why.
It's so hard to say, too, because, you know, I think because of the pandemic, we've actually been a little more, like, we've had more inside time to be on social media and talking to people. And so
yeah.
I think our submissions have been increasing, like, a little bit because of that, because people are also inside and finally have the time to, like, write out their experience and send it in.
That makes sense,
but
yeah.
Beyond that, we really haven't seen any notable, I would say. What'll be interesting, though, would be in, like, 6 months from now to see if people are reporting, like, while during the pandemic, this shit was happening to me. This was going on.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing I've heard a lot is that, like, a lot of people have, like, crazy dreams. So, but that's kind of to be expected. So, you know, this is like, I don't necessarily, I mean, scientists would just be like, well, you're really stressed. So, and we are all stressed. So it's like, well, that would probably make sense. But be that as it may, people are having lots of fucking crazy dreams. But otherwise, it's like, if you can't leave the house, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see, like, in 6 months. Well, I think a lot of people will eventually, they're kind of bursting at the seams to get out anyway. So once it's sort of I think this is completely off the topic, but I was thinking this the other day where it's like, you know, depending on how 2020 shakes out, let's put it that way, you know, we could see in the coming years sort of like this, for lack of a better term, like a roaring 20s. Like if we can turn, you know, if we can get over this virus and shit and everyone's sort of like celebratory, people will be traveling all over the place, you know, maybe things will turn around. Maybe it won't be some terrible depression, but we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great. You know, back to your Atlas Obscura comments, is one of our eventual goals for the site here is, you know, we want to have enough entries so that if you are going to, like, I'm going to Austin next week for a conference, I'm going to check out the Liminal Earth map and see, like, what kind of crazy shit people have been reporting from Austin.
Yeah.
And we want to have that, but we want to have that for every city in like, the world, you know? I don't know. That'll take a lot and probably, you know, a decade, but that's why we want to try and encourage people to submit and to join the ambassador program to represent. That's one of the coolest things because we have such cool people. You know, there's Kiki, and we had mentioned Holly, and then I think you know A.T. Strange.
Oh, yeah. He's a good friend, yeah.
Yeah, he's our Massachusetts ambassador, so... We have this like super team of people around the paranormal U.S. And a couple, you know, we've got a really great one in the U.K. We've had people applying who haven't actually officially signed on yet, but in like Puerto Rico, you know. So anyhow, the idea that like people are just kind of joining to help look into what's cool and interesting about their areas and share it with us, so that eventually we can go out and share it with them.
Yeah. You got to get somebody, Sarah Streetfield, she's my friend in Australia. She should try and get some Australian stories because there's always something weird going on down in Australia. It's wild down there.
Yeah. We've got a couple. We actually just got one about a couple of, like, dwarf yowies or something like that.
Yeah.
One of the most recent stories.
I think they're called the Junjidi, but Sarah would know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that... A little dwarf yaoi is called a Junjidi.
That's why
I asked about creatures. I have an affinity for, like, we have them around here. They're called Pukwudgies. And that's kind of, the name's kind of been applied to them, like, nationwide now. It's kind of stuck in a way. But they're all kind of, like, the same, these little, you know, like an Ewokie-looking thing. They get reported all over the place. It's really, people don't talk about it much, but it's pretty wild.
Yeah, we've got out here, particularly in eastern Washington, we've got what are called, what have been traditionally called stick Indians.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing to Google if anybody's ever interested in looking at stick Indians. But they're similar, like it's like, you know, little people. And the natives in the area have had stories about them, of course, for, you know, thousands and thousands of years. But again, they don't get talked about. Like you can't just ask somebody about them. But there's some cool stories out there online about stick Indians that are worth checking out if you're interested.
Yeah. What your map reminds me of, in a way, is now I'm not like I'm not a big Reddit fan, but I do. There are some areas I do like, and there's one called Let's Not Meet, and it's just like all these stories about people having creepy encounters. And it's like, oh shit, these people should send their send these stories to like you guys, because they're similar in that way. Where it's like I was out camping, and this this strange person came through, and then they vanished or whatever, like really weird, creepy ones. So, yeah, it reminds me of that.
Yeah.
And we want people who are listening, but all America listeners, to share their stories with Liminal.Earth. How did you – I can't believe that's a domain, .earth.
We couldn't either. We were trying to figure out what to change it to because, you know, it was just LiminalSeattle.com, and we were just domain shopping, and it was like, Liminal.Earth, that's perfect. And just snagged it up, you know, and – I think it was like $4 or something like that, because who else would have picked that domain name?
So yeah, it's crazy. It. Yeah, it's an awesome domain name. People should everyone in the paranormal should switch to .earth, so we have a secret domain that we can use.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool, and yeah, so people listening should head on over to liminal.earth and submit your story and get in there and look at stuff around you. Cause I'm like just scrolling through, and it's like every time I swipe on this little map here, like there's a little icon. You could spend all night looking at these stories. I got one here called Dark Lobo Canyon. Another one here is Portales Church of the Hidden Cove. And they're long, they're nice long write-ups. So,
yeah.
Yeah, people should definitely check it out. And so that's kind of what you guys are doing now, right? Just sort of trying to get more people to submit stories and grow the map, if you will.
Exactly. Yeah, we're trying to get the word out more. Like, we want to do, we want to do more shows. We want to, try and get, regular slots with people if we can. We want to do, like, lectures and events and things like that. We were of course, just like everybody else, right before the pandemic hit, we were about to do this big push. Our idea was to, because one of the things we realized, we've done a tabling at a couple events just locally around here, and we table at like paranormal themed events, and of course every single person there has some sort of paranormal story that they want to share with you. But what we want to do is we want to go to the half-empty mall in, like, a small town in Kansas and set up a table with Garrett dressed like a shrimp and see what we can get there.
That's a great idea.
Or, get a trailer and drive it around and see if we can collect the thing. Obviously, of course, just as with everything else in this realm, the biggest issue is how do you pay for it all?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the hard part. Yeah. Well, I think they do that with like the Hunting Bigfoot in a way. I think it's the Hunting Bigfoot, one of those Bigfoot shows. Like they come, like if they're gonna do a show in some town, first they come in like maybe 6 weeks ahead of time or whatever, and like they hold like a town hall, and like anybody in the town who wants to come and share their Bigfoot story with the TV show can, and then I think that's how they figure out who to follow around or whose property to check out when they come and film the show. So I imagine they get tons of crazy stories.
Yeah, probably so. And that's what
it's
we want, too. But then it's the same thing because those guys are Bigfoot, so we're probably going to get people who are interested in Bigfoot. But we just want it. We want it all. We want, dogs wearing shoes or...
I got a suggestion. I have a suggestion for the street team now. So, if you have like a graphic designer, Tenny's a great graphic designer. Have someone like conjure up a little like a flyer that people can print out at home, and then they can kind of like slap the flyers around. There was a girl. I had thought of this idea, and then a college student, a woman. She had this idea. I guess she kind of had a similar idea. And she like went all out with it and sort of printed up these like cryptid hotline posters and like put them all over Chicago and with a phone number, and like people would call her and leave messages and shit with their cryptid sightings and stuff.
Yeah, we actually we've been in touch with her about it. She was in our one of our newsletters a ways back. We interviewed her about her project. That was
nice.
Really cool. Yeah, we have some pamphlets and flyers and stuff in the works. That's a great idea to have it printable from the website. But like our guy in the UK, he designed his own pamphlet, and so what we're working on now is trying to tweak it so it's a little more universal. Because for him, it was specific to that place. But yeah, that's a great idea. We could even put up like a QR code on it or something.
Yeah.
Take a picture, it'll take you right to the site.
That's a great idea. See, you're way more technically advanced than me. I never would even. I was thinking like the old thing where you you put it up and then you have the scissors and you cut the little strips off. That's how. That's how old school I am.
Cut off the strips, and each strip has a QR code.
There you go. Well, we've lost the live audience. We're still taping here, so just give me a moment here to say thank you to Info 674, Jim Vujovic, Sasquara, my buddy Sarah Streetfield down in Australia, and Zach Copples Copley, who had all those lawyerly questions earlier that scared Garrett off. So thanks to those guys in the chat room. And thanks to all the people who listened live. So, yeah, we'll direct the people over to liminal.earth. That's the website. I really like what you guys are doing. I feel like it's, we'll definitely have you back on the show. Hopefully, I really do. I hope that was something with Garrett that was not of my doing, because it takes me a little while to sort of get up to what's that elevation on the show? So sometimes we start off a little bumpy.
I'm sure that it mainly was the fact that he had to like help put his son to bed. So
yeah, definitely. I thought maybe maybe he thought it was an hour long instead of two, but I didn't know. We'll say that. So, but yeah, I definitely I'll definitely have you guys back on the show as the collection. Accumulates. This could be like an annual thing,
awesome.
I think, where we kind of go over some of the weirdest stories you've had and, any experiences you've had out there in the world, once we can get out there in the world, right?
Yeah, no kidding. that would be awesome, brother. That would be great.
All right. Well, I thank you very much for coming on the show. I'm going to wrap it up now with the folks listening at home, and be well, enjoy the rest of your summer, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, that sounds great. Yeah, thank you so much for having us, giving us a chance, and hopefully we'll see some submissions from your listeners on liminal.earth.
Yes, absolutely. I encourage all of them to go on there and submit their stuff. So I want to hear about a wave of people who listened to this show tonight and then went and posted their stuff up. Make the, represent Banal Nation. All right, Jerry, thank you very much, brother.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Have a good night.
You too.
All right, folks. There you go. That was Jeremy Puma. And earlier, we had Garrett Kelly on from liminal.earth. Really, it is an awesome website. I could have spent all night digging through the stories, but I didn't want to. Like, I felt kind of bad because I kept throwing them out there. We're like, do you have any ghost stories? So I didn't want to keep doing that. But I really enjoy it. I can listen to those stories like all the time. And next time when we have them on the show, we'll work together and pick some out ahead of time or something like that. But I like the spontaneity of the first time shows. So that's about it. Let me see what else we got going on. Liminal.earth again is the website, and, they're on Twitter also. So let me see how you'd find them there. Well, I guess pretty obvious. Liminal Earth. So at Liminal Earth on Twitter, and liminal.earth is the website. And for real, I was serious. I want folks to submit stories to them if they got them. I'll submit the one I had about the elevator because I've told that story a few times. I don't know if I told it. If I've told it on the show before, somebody let me know. And I don't know what I'll do about it, but Nothing. Anyway, it's been another long day, my friends. Next week on the program, we're coming near the end here. I wanted to mention that. So we're nearing the end of we're nearing the end of the summer, and in turn, you know, that obviously means we're near the end of the summer of strangeness. And true to form for the way I run things, I haven't actually put too much thought into how we're going to stick the landing on this. So stay tuned. But we definitely have a guest for next week, and that is Allison Jornland. And she's done a lot of research into the Michigan Mothman stories, the Chicago Mothman stories. And she's also a founder of American Ghost Walks, which is in Milwaukee. So, and yeah, she's very well researched, and a lot of people speak very highly of her in the paranormal community. I haven't had the chance to talk to her yet, so but a lot of my friends are big fans of hers, and I think Lauren mentioned her work on the Chicago Mothman stuff when we had him on at the very start of the Summer of Strangeness. So I'm going to dig into her work, and we'll have her on the show, and we'll find out about what she's researched and get into some ghost stuff, which we don't do enough of, so we're going to do more of that. Yeah, we'll get into that and a whole bunch of other fun stuff. So, you know, Allison Jornland, next week on Banal of America. Yeah, what is that, August 28th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 9 to 11, the usual time. I'll be here. And after that, I don't know. The weekend after that is Labor Day, and that's traditionally the end of summer. So we'll see if that means that's the end of the Summer of Strangeness, or if we'll drag it out to to the real end of summer, which is, I don't know, what, like September 20th or something? I'd rather not do that. So there's a good chance we'll wrap things up on Labor Day weekend. Or the weekend after, since we started the weekend after Memorial Day, maybe we'll end the weekend after Labor Day. But either way, we're winding down that, and then in later in September, we're going to do another show, so you can look forward to that. We're going to have the guys from the Strange Realities Conference on, Adam Sain and Sir Feel. Jesus. I'm really losing my mind, folks. I think it's Sir Feel Stevenson. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Sir Feel. But anyway, Adam and Sir Feel will be on from Conspiranormal, and we'll talk about the Strange Realities Conference, which is going to be an online adventure, which we talked about when Kiki was on, ironically. So this all connects to the Kiki episode. It's an online conference. It's the end of September, the last weekend in September. I'll be presenting. And for the Banal of America, actually, I shouldn't announce this till it's for sure, but I was going to say something, but I won't now, so I'm an idiot. yeah, so they'll be on at the end of September, and, you know, then we'll probably kick off the Banal holiday season. So if we go away at the end of the summer, it'll only be for like 2 or 3 weeks, and then another couple of weeks, and then we'll come back with another wave of stuff. So yeah, that's kind of the state of the show as it stands right now, here going into the end of August. So with all that said, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Until next time, this is Tim Banal saying have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next week. Good night.